1 month ago today, 4 people were killed in a mass shooting in Birmingham's Five Point South neighborhood. Last week, Birmingham police arrested a 22-year-old suspect in connection with the crime. But how is the neighborhood holding up in the weeks since? WBHM's Noelle Annanen has this overview.
Residents of Five Point South are enjoying breakfast at Highlands United Methodist Church on a recent morning. Kenneth Mays works in the neighborhood. He remembers the aftermath well.
Got to work and police was everywhere. I can see blood all on the sidewalk.
How'd that make you feel?
I felt real bad. So sad, especially when I found out about this little girl was a 21-year-old. That was a memorable Sunday that I'll never forget.
Here, Mays is referring to 21-year-old Anitra Holloman, the youngest of the 4 people killed. When talking to people who frequent the area, a myriad of emotions come out. This is Danny Jones of Five Point South.
Well, it was very disheartening. I mean, in any community, but certainly close to home and close to places that are dear to me.
This is Dave Drescher.
It is pretty shocking, particularly when you look at the news article and learn that that was the 3rd time this year we've had 4 people killed kind of in a single incident.
It's pretty sobering.
This is Reggie Holder, Director of Ministries at Highlands United Methodist Church. The shooting happened directly across the street from the sanctuary. Holder was set up to help lead Sunday services the morning after the shooting. He says staff considered canceling the service, but they ended up holding it to offer as much normalcy to the neighborhood as possible.
We are in a unique place. Not only are we concerned about people's physical safety and well-being in this neighborhood, we're concerned about their emotional and mental and spiritual health as well.
Holder says staff and congregation alike are focusing on the positives of their. Jody Nelson has spent decades playing the guitar and writing music. Even when asked questions in his basement / music studio, he effortlessly plucks the strings of one of his 1960s Yamahas absentmindedly.
I listened to your album on SoundCloud. I have so many questions, sorry.
Between chords, he explains to me how his latest album, Ice Cherries, was born.
I tried to write a song for each modern folk song trope.
It was a challenge for himself.
There's railroad tracks on the cover. I mean, that's something I would never do if it weren't obvious that this is supposed to be that.
Nelson admits the biggest trope of the album is him, as in a singular man playing a lone guitar.
I knew I wanted to just be guitar and vocal because that's all I was working with.
This is fitting since he is surrounded by guitars. They sit in and around his music studio, which also features a forest of recording equipment and one lonely piano amongst the 6 strings.
I have a bunch of them because I keep them in different tunings, you know?
Ice Cherries is his solo debut, and one that he has been working on since the beginning of 2022. Still, he says he has been songwriting ever since his musical curiosity first drove him to pick up a guitar around age 10. He teaches the instrument himself at the Firehouse Community Center in Birmingham's Avondale neighborhood. Nelson describes the album like he discovered rather than wrote each song. He said he listened to the music as he was playing it and followed it where it wanted him to go.
You kind of get a hold of an instrument and get inspired by whatever the sound it's making that day. For me, it's like different picking patterns, you know, instead of... might be...
One of the songs he discovered came about by a mistake that he kept making while working on a picking pattern. This song, The Lion and the Lamb, is intended as a gospel trope, the lyrics reminiscent of worship music and biblical storytelling.
In the corners of your eye, hope you find it soon.
So, Noelle, can you please tell us more about how the state is attempting to lower recidivism rates?
Yes. So Reentry Alabama is a commission made up of state department heads who are drafting a plan to help incarcerated people return to their communities. They have an assessment of Alabama's current reentry system done by the Council of State Governments, or CSG. So CSG found that a quarter of formerly incarcerated people who graduated from state-run counseling, educational, and career programs returned to Department of Corrections custody within 3 years.
Well, is that not just because they're reoffending?
I mean, it's complicated. So first of all, the correctional system itself is really struggling to properly set up prisoners, former prisoners, with what they need in a timely manner. They don't even have health insurance, even though a lot of people struggle with substance use. They don't even have a driver's license, which you need to get to your job, and they don't have housing when they are released. The correctional system just doesn't always even give incarcerated people enough time to set any of this up. Whatever help the system does offer comes with long wait lists because of overcrowding in the correctional facilities and a pretty major staffing crisis. People I spoke with who sit on this commission essentially say that people reoffend when they are not able to re-establish their lives after release, and system failure is a really big part of this. CSG also says that Alabama doesn't even have a state-run transitional housing program, which makes everything that much harder. This is Cam Ward, director of the State Bureau of Pardons and Paroles.
If you don't have a house or transportation, how are you going to get a good job and be productive? It's just not going to happen.
I will say there are some state correctional facilities that do offer programs that would help prisoners do things like get vital paperwork and build their resumes. But even those programs do not always offer access to the technology that they would be using out in the workforce. And when someone has been incarcerated for a while, they can really rely on technology literacy training. And without it, it becomes that much harder to get a job. On top of that, the employment system has a lot of bias against hiring formerly incarcerated people.
Ooh, okay, so tell me more about this.